Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Welcome to another show, From Stress to Authentic Success. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and we are almost the end of 2022. And these last weeks, we have had here in Belgium a lot of drama, a lot of suicides, murders, homicides, a lot of things happening with the whole situation, the financial situation, the economic situation, the energy crisis. And it has had an effect on a lot of families, on a lot of people in their mental health, becoming depressed, becoming aggressive. So I'm going to talk today about the stress that is caused in our relationships. And one of the things I want to address, and I really am going to look out for the signs for the people who are suffering, I want to talk about domestic abuse today and what all the mental health problems that go with it. Because domestic abuse is really, it is believed to be one of the most prevalent but least reported crimes in the United States. And I'm going to talk today to two people who have been putting up an amazing support system in the UK. Patrick Ryan, he is a psychoanalytic psychotherapist with a particular interest in trauma, but he has been leading Hestia for now 20 years. So it's grown from a small charity to really something really big, really supporting survivors of domestic abuse, modern slavery, any aggression, mental health problems. And it is really one of the largest providers now of refugees. So it is the home of domestic abuse and sexual violence campaign of the UK, where the UK says no more. It has developed safe spaces offline and online to enable victims of domestic abuse to access support anywhere where they are. And so it is now in so many locations spread all over the country and the UK. And I believe that the US also has an organization like that. So wherever you are in the world, this show is exactly for you. This show is for you if you are doubting that you are involved in domestic abuse in any way. Please listen in, because this is, and if you know somebody that you are doubting that maybe that person or that family has a domestic abuse within their nucleus, it is important to listen. And I also talked to Carol Anderson. Now, Carol is the director of the TSB branch network in the whole country. And she has participated in that Safe Spaces program that we're going to talk about shortly, because they want to offer, and they're starting now with the Emergency Flee Fund. It is really a financial support system, but not just financial. We'll talk about it, to really help all the, let's say, victims and of domestic abuse. Now, before I'm going to talk to them, I just want to say to you that domestic abuse can take many forms. You know, our stress in a relationship can take many forms. It can be physical stress, like when you are abused physically, and we all know what that means, the beating, the kicking, the punching, the pushing, whatever it is, that's only just one form. You also have the sexual abuse that we all know about. But maybe the one that needs to be talked the most is also the emotional or the psychological abuse, the mental, verbal abuse. It can take many forms: yelling, cursing, humiliating, isolating, manipulating, controlling another person. I really think that it might be even more harmful than any other abuse. And neglect is also a part of that because it includes, of course, also not just the adult, but also the children. And it can also be very emotional. Now, of course, we all know the financial abuse where the abuser controls the finances and really, that can be very, very, very depleting and very affecting your mental health. But there's another one. The last one that I want to say to you is don't underestimate the technological abuse when people are not allowed to go on their computer, or the online technological abuse where we all know that on social media, how, we all are in our online activities. Some of us are really abusing other people, stalking them, harassing them, threatening them. So all these forms of abuse are to taken in as signs, as you can really go into this interview just now and see for yourself what is it that you need. And I just want to say for the end of this year, I wish you really less stress in your relationship. Please, your relationship with your partner, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your colleagues, with anyone, please just try to listen to this interview, see what all the effect can be. And if you see someone suffering, there is help. There is hope. I promise you, the safe spaces, online and offline in the UK, I'm sure there is hope in the States or wherever you are in the world. Go and look for help. I'm going to talk to Patrick Ryan and Carol Anderson just now after this little break.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to all of you. And as I said in the intro, I am talking to a very special person today, Patrick Ryan. He is the CEO of a beautiful Hestia charity. And Patrick, can you just tell the audience what is your mission here? What, because you have been doing this for 20 years.
I have. When I started this job, Danielle, I didn't have glasses and I did have hair, and now I have glasses and I don't have hair. I think Hestia is a really interesting charity because although we have multiple specialisms, so we work with victims of modern slavery, survivors of domestic abuse, people with mental health needs, those in the criminal justice system leaving prison, you know, a whole range of specialisms. You know, at our heart, it's really about working with people at a point of crisis or vulnerability. It's about holding hope. And about focusing on strengths and recovery.
Great.
So we're always about looking to the future and working alongside our service users or our clients because, you know, at the end of the day, they are the experts in their own lives, not us.
True. And
our role is to facilitate, support, walk alongside, and as I said, at times to hold hope for people when things are very tough.
So can you tell me a little bit about when do people come to see you? Because is it in that crisis moment? Is it even over the crisis moment? Are they so desperate? What happens there? What is the stress actually? Let's talk maybe mostly about domestic abuse and mental health, because that goes all together.
I will. Maybe worth saying, even though we've got all, you know, a number of those specialisms, one of the things that I've always said is that all our services are mental health services.
Yes, of course.
Because everybody has to attend to their mental health.
And they are all suffering. Let's say it like that, maybe. They are all really suffering. When they come to you, they are in a place of crisis,
you asked to focus perhaps first on our domestic abuse services.
Yes, please.
And, you know, we are the largest provider of refuges or safe spaces across London, though we work across the southeast. And mostly a woman and her children will come to us at a point of real crisis, at a point at which she has often, with only the clothes on their back, left a very abusive relationship. And we know that there can often be many incidents of abuse before somebody they will leave a relationship. Our very first task, and I would argue our most important task, is to create a place and sense of safety.
Okay.
Because until somebody feels safe, mm-hmm. and for some women, for some survivors, that can happen in the first 24 hours. For others, I heard somebody use a beautiful and haunting phrase yesterday at an event, which was the long shadow of domestic abuse.
Oh.
And the way in which it can, you know, take years for somebody to recover from the experience. But for us, it's creating a space and sense of safety. And we do an annual survey of the people who come into our services. And for me, the thing I am one of, there's many, many things that we ask in that, but we do ask about people's sense of safety and whether they feel they can trust us. And it's usually around 96%. Now, given where people come from and the crises they've just left mm-hmm. and are still in, that's something I'm really proud of at Hestia, that we can create that sense of space and safety. And I don't know if you know, but Hestia is the Greek goddess of the home.
Didn't know that.
And so, it's in our DNA to create a place in which people can be and can feel safe.
Can you talk a little bit about the signs, the symptoms that people, because I am sure that somebody out there is really maybe even desperate and really not sure how to deal with this. And is this domestic abuse or not? Can you talk a little bit about the signs?
I mean, I suppose it's really important to say that everyone's experience of domestic abuse can be different. So no two stories are, no two experiences are going to be exactly the same.
Okay.
And we have traditionally tended to think in terms of violence.
Yes.
Physical violence.
Physical. Mm.
But actually what we also know is, and it's now the legal position, which is the experience of coercion and control. And the way in which people's lives are controlled, what they think, what they do, who they speak to. A fairly typical experience can be one of isolation, you know, being cut off from family and friends. And one of the things that we spoke about earlier before we came online was our Safe Space initiative, which we set up under lockdown and the pandemic, because if you cast your mind back 2 years ago, as we were seeing and hearing of increasing rates of domestic abuse, there were only two places that any of us could go. We could go to our grocery store and we could go to our pharmacy. We had no other places that we were allowed to go under lockdown.
True.
And so Hestia, through our UK Says No More campaign, partnered with pharmacies across the country to create what we call a safe space.
Beautiful name, such a beautiful name. Mm.
And it's a very simple concept. So pharmacies have consulting rooms and they put posters up and they run campaigns. And it means that if somebody comes in, all they have to do is ask to use the safe space.
Wow.
And in there they will, first of all, the staff at the pharmacy are trained.
Yes.
They will know why somebody is asking. They will give them use of a telephone. And remember, if you were being isolated, being able, and we've heard, survivors have told us, I was able to call my sister, whom I'd not spoken to for a year.
Wow.
I was able to make a plan for my escape or what I was going to do next. One of the things that we are increasingly aware of is the way in which survivors tell us, the way in which lives are controlled digitally through the use of people's phones, where the calls they make can be tracked. And so one of the other pieces we've got is safe spaces online. So as well as being able to go into 6,500 pharmacies or bank branches, you may also go on to the website of 60 different businesses, very large businesses, which are hosting safe spaces online.
Wow.
And the great thing about that is that it leaves no digital footprint. Mm. So you can do that from your phone and it will not be tracked. You can also get out of the site really quickly.
Wow.
So for us, being able to create a space that people can go to, which is very accessible, easily accessible.
Yes.
And what we've seen is survivors often using it a number of times as they make a plan. You know, so there's that first call to a family member. There's maybe the next call to a service provider or a refuge.
Yes.
To get advice, to legal advice, whatever. And that's fine. You can come back and use those spaces as often as is needed in order to get out of an abusive relationship.
Of course, we're talking about the UK now, the safe. Is there any project to do this out of the UK for the older people listening who are in the US, Australia, wherever? Because global problem, domestic abuse, mental health, it's all global problems. So is there any project to do this on a larger scale?
So UK Says No More is the UK version of a US-based campaign, which is called No More.
Okay.
And
interesting.
No More are actively expanding that campaign in parts of Africa, parts of South America. And we collaborate very close across the Commonwealth.
Yes.
And we collaborate very closely with No More. So it is a global campaign, and we're responsible for the UK. UK Says No More. And Safe Spaces is, as it has been developed in the UK, is a first for the whole of No More. So
I love the No More expression. It is such a statement, and I can imagine, because Carol has just joined us, I can imagine for a bank or, you know, to do a project like that is really putting a statement in the world of we are all together in this and we don't want this anymore. Even I can tell you both that even in my little practice, and I say little, it's international, but I say little as a one person business. But in my practice, like you said, Patrick, the shadow before the crisis is really too much that you can't stand it anymore and that you need to have a safe space or, you know, help. There's a whole journey there. So I think it is so beautiful. And so to me, even to my heart, to have a project like No More, this is it. Now, Carol, you are joining us. Can you tell a little bit about what the bank is, how this has been created, this whole fee fund thing for people with domestic abuse?
So,
survivors.
We worked with Hestia back in 2021, and we were the first bank to offer safe spaces to our customers. And what that meant is we carried out specialist training of colleagues. And it really was a fantastic thing to do because you felt you were putting that support in the community when it was really needed. So customers coming in and being able to see privately and get that support from our colleagues. So we were able to direct them to different agencies or sit with them and help them with their banking or their plans and have that trusted source. Now, we've continued to build on that, and TSB is the first bank to launch what we call an emergency flea fund for our TSB customers. And what that means is a lot of victims of domestic abuse can't see any way out, and they don't have any funds either.
So can I ask a question to both of you? Because I think it's an important question for everybody listening. And is the financial situation the most critical to decide for yourself no more? Is that your experience also, Patrick, that it is all to do with cash or financial support or financial basic?
I think it's all interlinked. It's physical, it's emotional, it's mental, it's all of that. And if you don't have that cash to give you security, to buy things, to travel, to
get
up
out,
your life,
really, to get out and live on your own. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that increase in line with the cost of living challenge. So the Women's Aid, they've come out, 70% of abuse survivors are struggling now to leave the abuser.
Yes.
So we've set up this flea fund where it's £50 to £500 that will help with travel, toiletries, shopping, anything like that that will help TSB customers. And then over and above that, the other challenge they have is some of them have no documentation to even get a bank account because all of that's been taken away from them. They've lost their independence. Yes. So we are setting up a pilot with Women's Aid across 7 of our communities where we will look at non-standard documentation. So to help the survivors set up banking, get themselves away from that situation. And we like Women's Aid, are calling on the government to set up these funds and for more people to help.
Patrick, can I ask you, do you have a figure for me about men domestic abuse and women domestic abuse? Is there a huge difference there? Or because we always speak about mostly about women, but I believe there's also men being abused. Can you give a little bit more on that?
So the figures that we've had and have had for some time is through in their lifetime, 1 in 4 women will experience domestic abuse, and it's 1 in 6 men. So you know, the numbers are very significant.
The numbers are not lying.
No.
Mm.
What we also know, though, in terms of domestic abuse homicides, is that it is women who are killed in intimate abusive relationships.
Okay.
And, you know, the figure has been known for some time. It's 2 women every week, though. I think there are concerns that that's underreported, and in fact, it's higher. Mm.
Well, I live in Belgium, and I can tell you that we have never, my husband and I have been talking about it before this interview. We have never seen so many killings in families, even men who kill their wife and their children. You know, in Belgium, we never saw that before. And now in these last months, and I believe you both have figures on that, or how much it has escalated because of the situations now with energy prices. And so there's a lot going on there. Even in a little country like Belgium, we are all like really surprised how quickly this is taking a violent and an aggressive, abusive kind of energy here in this country.
That abuse and violence is already there, isn't it? That level of abuse and violence is there. And then with the expediency of the cost of living crisis, when the money is less there, that then raises that abuse.
Yes, I agree.
The pressure just increases. And I'm sure you're finding that
we
as
are,
well,
the, I mean, the, we have 3 sources of data which tell us that it is increasing significantly. So there are visits to safe spaces online, which TSB are launching from the new year, which we now have about 70 businesses across the UK hosting for us. And in 1 month, We've seen visit numbers go from 70,000 to over 170,000.
Yeah, I see.
That is an extraordinary increase in people being concerned about domestic abuse. Secondly, we have a referral line. So we have, as I said earlier, we have refuges across London, safe spaces, physical spaces that people can go and live in. And we've seen an almost 40% increase in numbers contacting us to ask about access to a refuge space. And then, as Carol said earlier, we know from the wider sector, from those working across our sector, that they are also seeing a similar increase in numbers.
And does it have to do with mental health? With, like, let's just talk about the man being abusive to his wife or his family. Does it also have to do with the mental health, the state of stress, depression? What is going on there? How can you explain that? How can you explain the abuse? Is there something there? Is that trauma? Is that, what is going on? Both sides. You can talk about the abuser and you can talk about the victim. Is there, it's both a mental health problem, isn't it?
I think the starting point would be, you know, this is a complex issue, but the starting point has to be, in any shape or form, domestic abuse is not acceptable. It is not okay. So I think we can explore all the issues that you raise, but we have to have that as our starting point. This is never okay. And I think then we can begin to think about what support can we offer, both to victims whose mental health will have been impacted by the experience of domestic abuse. But then also thinking about what can we put in place for perpetrators so that they can be supported to change their behaviours.
I'm asking that question, Patrick, because I know you are specialised in trauma. And what I've learned, because, you know, it's so beautiful what you all are doing for the abused people. But it's also important, I think, to think in our society what is going on that people are abusing more and more. And, you know, Oprah Winfrey has a beautiful book called What Happened to You? So instead of asking what's wrong with you to the abuser, to ask what happened to you, because aren't these people also maybe the people who have been abused when they were younger, isn't that the case, what you see?
I mean, I suppose I would want to emphasize again, and maybe I'll talk about what we know from attachment studies. I'll talk a little bit about that, but with a starting point of, I think you're right. Asking what happened to you is a really beautiful way in, but it is never okay. Whatever happened, it's still never okay. We do know from attachment studies, and we know from the work around internal working models, that we all have these unconscious internal working models about how we relate to others. They are shaped in our early years, and we carry them with us through life. And so if somebody grows up in an abusive situation, that will have an impact on how they experience. And I think it is experience rather than understand relationships, because this is about people's experience, which is often unarticulated, not named. And I think what we have struggled with is specialist domestic abuse services, which have been around for 50, 60 years as we know them, have been forever, not just now, but forever, they have been Cinderella under-resourced services. They have not been either fully understood, fully resourced as trauma services. I think as we understand more about trauma, I think we understand more about how we really need to invest in those services. This is not necessarily a quick fix. And we to address this, we have to resource it. And, you know, we have to accept, you know, on one hand, in terms of specialist services, as a society, we have never made the investment necessary to address these issues. On the other hand, we have to be really proud, I think, and pleased with the kind of initiatives that Carol and TSB are taking.
Yes.
So we are making this a community-wide conversation, a national conversation,
yes,
in which everybody has to play a part. This isn't a private matter. This is for all of us. We can't be bystanders. We have to call it out. But we have to do both of those things, I think. But we have to resource specialist services, and we haven't and we don't. And we have to build on, expand, you know, TSB now will be the first bank,
yes,
to have both physical safe spaces, online safe spaces, and a flea fund. You know, all of those measures are really important, and they send out a really strong message, which is you will be believed, you will be supported, and people care.
There's hope.
Yeah.
Is that what
I think
the bank is standing for, like hope? There's hope? Is that what the bank wants to give to people?
There's hope, and there's a way out, and we are there to support you in finding that way out. I think the other important bit is, because we trained all our colleagues, that's another 1,500 people that have an increased awareness about this and can lean in and help take action. And I think you add all of that together, the digital safe spaces is a real game changer, because you can go on quickly, it doesn't leave any history, and it's very accessible in the digital environment, which is really important for those victims.
Yeah, and that safety, I mean, is one of the main things. Eh? I would never, if I would be in a situation like that, that would be the first thing to ask myself, is it safe to go there, and will nobody know, or, you know, any, I think that's such an important part of it. Yeah, the safety.
Yeah, and it doesn't leave any track on the history, and they can come out of the site very quickly. So, you know, they're normally trying to find a safe space where they are to go on and get that support. So this opens it up to many, many more victims.
Wow.
Sorry, Patrick, I think I cut over you.
I think the piece I would just add to that, to complement it, is for years and years, you know, coming into our refuges, survivors have often told us that they didn't know that there was support available. So I think the other real value of these initiatives is we are saying loud and clear, there is
support. No more.
There is support. There is support available.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. I mean, I really, Patrick, do you have anything to say to somebody, that person here that I'm talking to now, who is listening and who is, you know, feeling that this might be something for them, that this might be the step, the hope for them, that, you know, there is a way out? What would you say the first thing to do?
So I would say three things, if that's okay.
Okay.
I'm mindful of time. But one, you know, if you are in immediate danger, call, and you're in the UK, call 999. You know,
okay,
if you're in immediate danger, if you think your life is at risk, let's do that now. I think if you have a phone, then you can go to safe spaces online. There, you know, TSB will have it on their site from early in the new year, but it's on Thames Water, British Gas, Royal Mail. You can get access
everywhere,
to spaces online. There are 70 businesses who host that. If you're able to go out, go and find 6,500 physical safe spaces across the country. Go in and ask to use the safe space in your local pharmacy, TSB branch, other banks. And there you will be given access to resources. It's a space you can use as often as you need to, while you make a plan, while you contact family and friends, while you bring in professionals. So those will be the three things, depending on your situation. Use safe spaces online, go into a physical safe space, but if your life is in danger, call the police.
Okay. And that is anywhere, wherever you are in the world. That first tip is calling, you know, if you are scared of your life, I think it is so important to take that step, because the safety of you, your children, anyone that is living in your home, to be honest, you know, it's not just the one person, it's the whole family, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything to add, Carol?
We're here to help. We have the emergency plea fund. So I'd ask any TSB customer to come in if they're a victim of abuse, or if they're not a TSB customer, their local community to get that support. We are here to help.
Patrick, there's one thing I want to finish off with. Is there a statement that you have towards yourself, your patient, your mission, your clients, a quote or something that you live by that you would like to finish off with?
Sure. At Hestia, what we always talk about is life beyond crisis. So actually, with a focus on the future and a focus on hope and a focus on recovery. And working with people's strengths and capacities. So for us, it is life beyond crisis. There may be a crisis today.
Yes.
It may be a very serious crisis. Actually, there is a future and there is hope, and holding on to that.
We call it post-traumatic growth. You know, there's like that gives such a beautiful, positive thing after the crisis. There's the growth, and you know, even in the crisis, there's growth. But thank you so much for that. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you both. And I will have a little music and come back to the listeners just now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Thank you for staying with me in this important show that has all to do with our mental health, with stress in our relationships, with domestic abuse. And there's a few things in my outro here that I want to share with you that Patrick and Carol were sharing. And I really think that we learned a lot. And how Patrick said that there is hope. We all need to look toward the future and hold hope, certainly for the people who are victims of domestic abuse, because there is hope. If you hear talking Patrick and Carol, you can see that society is starting to really, really grasp the importance of supporting that part, that group of people who are really battling with the immense stress in their relationships and who don't see a way out. So there is support now. We all need to attend to our mental health. And in situations like domestic abuse, whether it's the child or whether it's the adult, that is no situation to stay in. And as they were talking, you and I, we probably know now and realize more than ever that it is so important for these people to know that there is a space of safety. When we are in a situation like this, where we are abused in any form, like I said in the beginning, any form of abuse, it is so important to create a space of safety. Because as Patrick was saying, there's a long shadow of domestic abuse. Whether we're talking about child abuse, whether the child is just witnessing the domestic abuse between his parents or her parents, it is affecting them immensely. And I see it in my practice every single day, how the stress in relationships of mom and dad can affect children. When they grow up, they still are suffering. So we all know the effects of that kind of stress. And so the interesting thing is that, and it's actually only logical, is that when there's less money, there's an amazing increase in the abuse. And weren't you surprised that you heard those figures about 158% increase in a few months' time? That is mind-boggling how, and I can, as I said in the interview, I see it in my own country, how it has all escalated. When you hear the figures that one out of four women in a lifetime has to do with domestic abuse, and that every single week there are at least two women killed through domestic abuse, and one out of six men, those figures, I mean, they speak the truth. They let us know how important it is that we give those people hope, that we create that space of safety. It is just so important. As you know, you and I, maybe we can look around us in the end of the year atmosphere. I am sure that the victims of domestic abuse, that we can see it in their behavior, in their signs. And there's a few signs that really I want to just mention, because if people around you in a relationship, if they are withdrawn, if they are unresponsive, if they give you signs of fear and nervousness, if they have a change in behavior, if they have bruises, bleeding, torn clothes, anything, injuries as bruises and cuts, if they can see they are not really well in their own skin and wearing like long-sleeved clothing or sunglasses. I mean, really, there are so many signs. If they are extremely weak or isolated from friends and family, these are all signs, like Patrick Ryan talked about as well, that it is up to us also to open our eyes. And not easy to offer help, not easy to speak about this, certainly not for the people affected themselves to speak up about it. That's what we heard. So that safe space, I really want to say and leave you for this. It's the end of 2022. Let us do an effort to look, first of all, in our own life, that we treat the people in our relationships, that you and I, we are careful on how we treat others. We need to be alert on how we treat ourselves, not to stay in a relationship, whether it's with a colleague or a boss or a neighbor or a family member, not to stay in a relationship that is abusive to ourselves. We need to protect ourselves. And then I'm going to ask you to look around, as I said, to look around and see if you see any signs around you of people that are really, of children and adults that are really suffering. I think this time of the year is such a beautiful moment to open our eyes, be grateful for what we have, and look around if there's anything that we can do to give others support, hope, so help, whatever it is. I trust you liked this interview and that you have a bit more insights and knowledge. And I'm wishing you an amazing end of the year, but I will see you next year. I think next week and next year. It's a little bit an overflow from 22 to 23. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now. Just something before I go that I forgot to tell you, and I insist on doing this before I leave you for the week. Now, if you know me a little bit, you know that I am here to inspire you and motivate you to take care of yourself, to go from stress to authentic success, meaning some people call me all over the world the queen of self-care. And if there's one thing that I have learned out of this interview and out of this week around domestic abuse, it is that we are experts in our own life. That's what Patrick Ryan was saying as well. We are responsible and experts in our own life. It is up to us to stand up for ourselves, to do that extreme, complete, complex self-care in any way. If there is any abuse in your life, it doesn't even have to be domestic abuse, whether it's your boss, your colleagues, your neighbors. As I said, any abusive relationship that is going on into your life, it is my mission, my task, my purpose to help you see that you are worthy of so much more, that any abuse is not acceptable. It is just not done. We are here with the birthright of taking care of ourselves, living a beautiful, amazing, authentic, successful life. And so it is our duty towards ourselves. As I always say, you are your best investment. It is our beauty towards our own self to stand up for ourselves, to stand in that birthright of I am worthy of being treated, loved, accepted, appreciated. And so to end this show, I just wanted to say that to you for the end of 22 and towards the coming weeks and months, I am here to inspire you and motivate you to keep on doing that really sacred self-care, to look out for yourself and also to look out for others. And maybe by being the example of practicing daily self-care, you are going to give the others the example of how they can take care of themselves as well. So as we said in this interview, in this show, there is hope. There is always hope. There is always a solution, an opportunity for better, for changing your life for the better. And I'm here. If you need any help, go to danielsacks.com. Send me an email, danielle@danielsacks.com. I'm here to help you to really take good care of yourself, to say stop no more to any abuse in your life. I'm leaving you for this week. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sacks. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesacks.com.